This is the Tom Likas Show.
Drug dealing, hookers, and loud music.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in...
No shit, it's retarded.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, at 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand at premiumtom.com or likeusonline.com. Show your support for our show. Get access to every hour we have produced. Listen to them in any order. Play them for your friends. Any show you've missed, you can catch up on at any time. You don't have to be glued to your computer or your smartphone all the time. You can just dip right in, listen to the particular hours you want to hear over. This one I think you'll probably want to hear over if you're not already listening to a replay of it. We are, in this hour, bringing on one of our supporters, our fans, and consequently also an advertiser supporter. Adam Sachs has been on our program, and you've heard us talk about Adam Sachs and his abilities in the area of divorce, vagina money, child support, prenuptial agreements. And the last time he was here, we got so many phone calls for Adam, and people asked us to have him back. By the way, we're not your average radio station. If there's an advertiser, they'll slip him on the air. They won't tell you he's an advertiser. I have heard one particular schmoozer who has a talk show who's constantly talking about the buffet at some Las Vegas casino, the seafood buffet. And he has the guy on for like half an hour at a time, and they are clearly an advertiser. Now, do you really need to hear half an hour about a seafood buffet in Las Vegas? No, but the guy says, all right, I'll buy time, but you have to give me time on the talk show and pretend it's a real interview. What we're doing here is it's a real interview, but it's a real interview with somebody who talks about something you care about, and he is a listener, and he happens to be an advertiser, and we're just very upfront. We're very transparent about it. We got nothing to hide. We'd love you to call Adam Sachs if you feel he can help you, but he will also answer questions for you on the telephone at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866. Adam, good to see you again.
Great to see you, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Here we are in the dead of summer, and we talked about divorce last time, and our listeners have a specific interest in that area, and that is one area that they will always be interested in, because if nothing else, I'm constantly telling these guys, A, to get a prenup if they insist on getting married. A, don't get married. B, get a prenup if you insist on getting married. And C, if you are married today, do a gut check. And if you don't want to be married anymore, get a divorce as soon as possible. Because the way it works in California, it seems to me, every 2 days you're married, you owe another day of vagina money.
And don't forget the big 10-year mark also. That's critical. Crucial.
Yeah. And by the way, what I've heard, correct me if I'm wrong, is some judges now have taken some liberties with that 10-year mark. And now you're 9 years and 3 months. You're 8.5 years. And he says, well, that's close enough to 10 years.
One of the things that happens in those circumstances, Tom, is that if particularly the wife didn't work or never worked or never had any kind of occupation of her own, she can get spousal support for an extended period of time until she, like, gets back into the job market or whatever.
If ever.
So even if your marriage was shorter, if you have that kind of a woman that hasn't worked, you have to really watch your back.
There's no doubt about that.
The other thing I really want to talk today about is DUI. I know people have a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. All this is like that fun.
That's definitely true.
Yes.
I think that I hate to be really negative, but I have a very cynical belief about DUI and the way it functions. And there was a lot of movements when I was growing up, Mothers Against Driving Drunk. And when I grew up in New York, the drinking age was 18. They made it 19. And they made it 21. And they were trumpeting how that helped save lives and so forth. And what's happened, which is really remarkable, I think, is that DUI has become actually a profit center for the counties and for the state, where it's essentially another tax because they make so much money on the fines, the school. It's like a cottage industry around it. And what people don't recognize is that the DUI conviction that you get actually can really mess you up. It can prevent you later on from getting the career you want, the job you want. It's a criminal matter. It's on your record. It's permanent. And with respect to family law, it can hurt you in custody. There's issues of whether you can have your children in your car with you and so forth. So people don't realize how serious it is. And I want to read the statistic. Believe it or not, in L.A. County, there are 200 to 250 DUI arrests each day. And it actually increases over holidays and so forth.
Yeah. By the way, there are a lot of these profit centers, whether it's domestic violence.
Oh, God, don't even mention.
I was there. You know what? I'm very open about it. I was involved with, I was married to someone who went to a Christmas party with me, got very drunk, said, we need to talk. I said, let's talk in the morning. She said, no, we need to talk now. I said, well, I'm not talking now. I'm getting up in the morning. We can talk in the morning. She smothered me with a pillow and said, we're going to talk now. I got up. I pushed her away. She fell on the floor, and she said, I'm calling 911. And I said, go ahead, like an idiot. And the cops came, woke me with a flashlight in my face, and took me to jail.
Oh, Tom, Jesus.
The next day, she had been so drunk, she did not realize what happened until a call came in from the DA's office telling them that I was in their custody. And I was not there to do my radio show that day. And she said, well, he didn't do anything. Send him home. And the DA was up for re-election that year. And so the DA's office said, you know, we can prosecute without your testimony. And so if you don't choose to cooperate, we can still go ahead and do this. And they felt they'd caught a big fish. Tom Likas, the radio personality. And so it ended up costing me $22,000. Not only, well, that was legal fees alone. And then the fees to go to what they called a batterer's program.
Run by a lesbian, I presume.
Well, there were two different people running it. It was some days it was a lesbian, or it was a big cholo who, I don't know what his deal was. He was probably himself working off a conviction by teaching the class. And I had to lie to a lesbian and say that I did it because they said I was in denial. And that until I admitted that I did it, they would not let me out of this class. I had to continue attending. So I had to admit to doing something I never did.
It's unbelievable. And this followed you all the way from Boston to L.A., right?
That's right.
Unbelievable. And then you're in an industrial park in Van Nuys apologizing to a lesbian.
That's right.
The thing is with
for
DUI,
something I never did.
With DUI, Tom, you know, this thing that they started off as a voluntary association, 12 steps, becomes mandatory. All of a sudden, the judge orders you to go to 12-step program. And you have to have a sponsor, and you have to go twice a week for a year, 2 years. And that was not the intention whatsoever. What the friends of Bill W. were trying to create an organization that you were compelled to go to. And it's the same thing with this batterers program. The person who does that ends up being resentful and feels angry, just as you've just described in your own experience, and says, this is unbelievable. This is what I have to do. And it's exactly what you said now, too, where the wife can actually go and say, I made a mistake. I want to drop the charge. I don't want to go forward. And they can't. They're compelled now. It goes forward without her testimony if necessary.
So when I talk on the show about not wanting to be married, can anyone blame me? I went through that. And there isn't a couple out there that's been together more than 5 minutes that hasn't had a fight, hasn't had an argument, or hasn't had a situation where one person was smoking weed or was drunk or something. And it escalated a little bit. And then suddenly 911 was called. I bet there's a lot of people listening right now who either have called 911 themselves or have been with someone who called 911. And the biggest mistake you can make is to call 911 because what will happen eventually is what happened to me. I, to this day, almost 20 years later, have to answer questions from morons who keep bringing up this incident that took place. That I never did what I was accused of doing. I never threatened to kill anyone, which is, of course, they exaggerated everything and said I was threatening to commit murder. That was part of what was being alleged, threatening to commit murder. Now,
they make that terrorist threats.
Right.
And by the way, it's a great disadvantage nowadays if you live in a private house or you live in an apartment house, because if you live in an apartment or a condo, your neighbor calls the cops. And the cops come to a domestic incident now, and they're compelled to arrest someone, generally the man, let's face it, okay? And then, like you say, it sort of goes and it has a life of its own. Now, Tom, you're not doing this, of course, but consider not just answering questions from callers, but what if you were applying for a job now,
right?
You were more of a regular guy, and you know, whatever it is, and this is coming up on the computer. Right. And they're saying, "Oh, sir, I'm sorry. You have a felony conviction. You have a conviction for domestic violence. You're worse than Hitler. Get out of here."
Right. In my case, supposedly, because I agreed to go to the batterers program, which was that was a diversion program, they said. Ultimately, once I completed it, it was supposed to be sealed. But, of course, with the advent of the Internet, it doesn't matter. They sealed the case, every detail of the case, including the fact that I lived at 46 Grove Street in Boston and that I paid $369,000 for my house in 1994. Every fact about the case will be available forever on The Smoking Gun. It's available on the Internet. So even if a potential employer couldn't find the information in the records of the city of Boston, they can find it on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of websites all over the world. It's out there, and it's never coming back. And that's why I deal with it head on, and I don't hide from it, because I have nothing to hide from. What happened to me is a cautionary tale for anybody thinking about shacking up with anybody else, because literally this can happen to anyone. Anyone who has an argument, you can get a phone call from a neighbor, and they call the police, and they say that you're beating the other person that you're with, and suddenly you're in the system.
What's even worse now is that it's a tactic, Tom. It puts people on the defensive in divorces. It changes things in terms of immigration law. A woman who's trying to get her green card via your citizenship can report you for domestic violence, can create a conjured-up circumstance, and then she gets the green card without your help and doesn't need you anymore.
I know someone that happened to, as a matter of fact. Someone who went to jail. And what did he do? He thought he was in love. He married somebody. He had a kid with that somebody. And then all of a sudden, she called the police and said he was abusing her.
And the bigger joke that's even more unbelievable is how many relationships today end with a restraining order. That's a classic now.
Yeah.
Classic. Where a disagreement turns into it. And I've
yeah.
The law has changed. And you know the word now, especially after September 11th, is terrorist threats. And what you're talking about that happened to you, I'm going to kill you or whatever they claimed you had said,
right,
which of course is false. Now that would be worse than a threat. It would be a terrorist threat. And can you imagine an employer, a potential employer, looking at that, and they go, "Mr. Likas, you were convicted of making terrorist threats?"
Right.
The circumstances aren't going to matter. The fact that it was a lie isn't going to matter anymore.
And that's why you wouldn't want anyone living in your house, frankly. And as a matter of fact, I don't even want somebody visiting your home or staying in there for a night or two, because it's domestic violence. If they're in your home, they sleep over, they bring a toothbrush. As far as the law is concerned, that's domestic violence.
Why is domestic violence worse than any other kind of violence, by the way?
I always say that. We have laws against violence. Why don't we use those? But because we've got political entities, we've got groups of lesbians and feminists who want to criminalize being male, these are the things that start happening. That merely because you're at the same apartment with somebody, committing a violent act is worse than if you committed violence on a complete stranger. Which I see violence as being violence, and that's it. That's it. DUI, cottage industry, isn't it? I mean, come
no
on.
No doubt.
DUI, it's ridiculous. Let me tell you a story, and you'll probably be able to relate to this. I've never had a DUI. I've never been in this position.
Thank God.
I know, but, you know, is there anybody in California who doesn't know five people who've had DUIs? And you know at least five. Everybody does. And I know somebody who, and this is just a great story. I know somebody, these classes are always taught by somebody who at one time was in a 12-step program, or they are alcoholic, or even they sometimes are, they've been sentenced, and maybe they've been sentenced more than once, so they are teaching the class to try to fulfill some kind of requirement they have. And it's kind of interesting how everybody gets really comfortable with each other in these classes that the state of California charges a fortune for you to attend. And somebody I know who got a DUI was sitting in a classroom, as usual, in some industrial park somewhere or some little office complex somewhere. You go in and you're sitting there with a bunch of other people who got caught, unfortunately. And the teacher in the classroom was saying, you know, many of you are here because you did stupid things. And you're thinking stupid things means driving drunk. This particular teacher told a friend of mine who had gotten a DUI, said, if you hadn't been driving in the left lane, you might not have gotten a DUI.
Oh, God.
Do you understand that if you're driving with your windows open, you are a suspect? So essentially, it evolved into a conversation about how to get away with driving drunk. Always drive in the right lane. Always drive with your windows closed. Always try to drive a certain minimum speed and a certain maximum speed. So you're getting instruction. What are you going to be instructed about? Don't people know drunk driving is against the law? So essentially the instruction they start getting is how to break the law more effectively next time.
Unbelievable. That's just unbelievable. Anyway, I think one of the things, and obviously I have a vested interest in this because I defend people. I'm an attorney and everything. But I think one of the things that people don't recognize is that they really have to have an attorney. When I go into court and I see these people you're talking about, there's usually a long line of maybe 20, 25 people who are literally one after another just coming in guilty, 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 you know, pleading guilty. And the one person who has an attorney or two people that have attorneys, the people that I'm representing, end up getting away with the matter, okay, ends up getting reduced or dismissed. And people, particularly for their first DUI, are persuaded, just plead guilty, get it over with, get it done. And I think that people have to really recognize what a lasting impact it can have on their lives. And I've described in terms of professional licenses, in terms of divorces and so forth. But then, and cost, by the way, but then the really serious issue is your second DUI. Because if you have one in the tank and then you go and get another one later on, even several years later, now it's very, very serious. It's a felony, you know, and there's this whole thing about how you're almost killing children and you're a terrible person and so forth. And so you really have to fight them all. And what you've said about the subjectivity is just unbelievable because it's so true. You know, notoriously, supposedly Johnny Carson used to drive from Burbank to Malibu, smashed drunk every night, and he would get pulled over. But, you know, it was Johnny Carson and the cops would let him go. And that's apparently what
the cops would not just let him go. The cops would give him a ride home.
Yeah, that's great. I'd love to have that.
Yeah, but we'd all like to have that.
Supposedly, that's what Mel Gibson freaked out about because he had also been treated with special treatment in that way in the same area, by the way. And then he had this one cop that wouldn't give him a break, and that's when he freaked out and started, you know, making all these anti-Semitic statements and so forth to this cop.
Yes.
But you see how this thing that you're talking about, which as silly as it is in terms of going to a class that's supposed to tell you how bad you've been for drinking and driving, and they're actually telling you, listen, pal, next time, make sure you're in the right lane, make sure you have your windows rolled up. It's amazing to me. I live in Calabasas, and they close off Las Virgenes Road and make a checkpoint there. They do it frequently. And they put signs. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, based on the Constitution, we do still have certain rights in this country, thank God. And they put up these big signs, DUI checkpoint. And I cannot believe that people that know they're drunk drive into it. They got to. Why wouldn't you, you know, turn around or something, go a different way?
But you know what I've seen when those signs are put up? They have to inform you that a drunk driving checkpoint is coming up. I've seen people try to hightail it out of there, like make a right turn to off to a side street or make a U-turn. And there's other cops waiting for them there that picked them up before the checkpoint.
Oh, that's not very sporting.
No, that's not good either. So you just can't count on that stuff. And it's pretty amazing to me, though. A radio talk show host named Gene Burns, I heard him on the radio many years ago, and he said something that made a lot of sense. If they really wanted to outlaw drunk driving, they could stop drunk driving easily, all right? Offense number one, you lose your license for a year.
Even longer, 10 years.
Yeah, all right. Offense number two, you lose your license for 5 to 10 years.
Right.
And then offense number three, lifetime suspension of driving privileges. Now, here in California, who can live with a lifetime suspension of driving privileges? If they really wanted to do it, they would, but they don't. Because they want to get you into the system and charge you all these court fees and charge you fees to go to drunk driving alcohol re-education programs, blah, blah, blah. How much of this sounds like George Orwell, by the way?
It's not a joke. It is. It's 1984.
Alcohol re-education programs. Let's face it. A lot of the people who are chronic drunk drivers are alcoholics. No amount of education. You know, on the one hand, when people want to spend government money on something, they'll classify alcoholism as disease. It's a disease. so that certain people can get government tax money, like counselors and what have you, people who teach classes. On the other hand, they have alcohol re-education programs. You take somebody who has a quote-unquote disease, and you put him in a classroom. You're going to educate him about how what he's doing is wrong. It's a total joke. The real truth is that, first of all, with a DUI, if you get caught, they shouldn't be any of this dicking around or any of this negotiating. If they really want to stop drunk driving, they have to let people know they're serious about it. They have created a system where now people play chicken. They say things like, well, I only had two drinks, or I only had three. I can make it. I'm only 10 miles away. So they kind of give you an incentive to try to make a calculated risk about getting in your car and driving home. Whereas if you knew that the punishment was going to be so severe, you'd have a hard time moving on with your life after it. People would spend $30 to take care. They would.
But you know that if you don't pay child support under certain circumstances in counties like Los Angeles, they'll take away your driving privilege?
I know.
But bars have parking lots.
That's one thing that makes no sense to me. Because I know many people, in fact, at one time or another, I have talked to people about having a sports bar. And I dropped the idea because of all the background checks and all of the zoning issues and the arguments with people in the community who don't want another bar in their neighborhood or whatever. All these debates about whether a license should be issued, and never a debate about how many parking spaces you have. Never.
It's bizarre.
I mean, we used to do a show, and we enjoyed working there. One of the best places we ever did listener party was Camacho's out in the City of Industry, which has since been closed and torn down. But we used to do the show there at least on Cinco de Mayo and sometimes twice a year. That place had parking. It looked like Dodger Stadium. It had parking that went on for acres and acres. How do you get a license to open a bar, serve alcohol, and then have parking for 500 cars? It makes absolutely no sense to me. But they do that. And you know why they do it? You know why they do it. Because they can then park the cops outside the door of the place when there's a big event going on, a lot of people drinking shots of tequila. And then they can just, pick off one after another as they drive out the parking lot. You know, if you really wanted to stop drunk driving, you would say, okay, you have a license to open a bar, but you're not allowed any parking spaces. That's it. If there's any parking on the premises, we were taking the license away.
All right, so owing to the way it is, okay,
right,
people have to be aware of their rights.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple of things I want to mention that are really important that people should be aware of in general, okay? First, I'd say, in spite of what we've just talked about, Tom, you really shouldn't drink and drive. That's a
absolutely
fact. And you should have a designated driver and okay, all those things. Yeah. I even saw something where they have some service that a guy comes with like a Segway, and then he drives your car and you home, and then he drives himself back with a Segway or something like that. I think that's great. I think you should do stuff like that, and certainly taxis and all the other things. In general, people don't recognize that, for example, the breathalyzer machine is notoriously inaccurate. And in fact, you can refuse to do it. You can absolutely refuse it. People don't know that. So when you're on the side of the road, sometimes it's a kind of a coercive situation. You have a police officer, he's got his uniform, he's got his gun, and he's telling you, I want you to do the field sobriety thing. That's where you touch your nose and you walk and so forth. You can say, I don't want to. And he can say, okay, I want you to do the breathalyzers when you blow into the breath machine. And you can say, I don't want to. I mean, people don't realize that these things are actually being suggested to you by the cop. And you can say, no, I don't want to.
But there are penalties.
No, there's not.
None at all?
No, the bottom line is that you have the right to a blood test. And that is the most accurate. What's also nice about that is that by the time they get you to the hospital, it's going to be another half an hour. You've metabolized more of whatever alcohol you drank. And the blood test is very accurate. So it seems to me that if you've been drinking any amount and you're concerned, you know, you don't want this breath test to suggest, because if you're over 21, there's a threshold, as we know, 0.08, which has actually been reduced quite a bit, but it used to be higher, but it's 0.08. It is always going to be in your interest. If you're sitting there facing arrest anyway, why be a schmuck and do the roadside walking and tripping or whatever? You say, listen, officer, I want a blood test. And he's going to go, no, I want you to use the breathalyzer. I'm sorry. You always talk nice. Never be a wise guy with a cop. You say, I'm really sorry, officer. I know you're doing your job, but I really don't want to do the breathalyzer. I want to have a blood test. And they will take you and give you a blood test. I think that makes a lot more sense. It's always surprising to me that people go along with what they're told. And there's always, always a situation, again, when you're not complying, but you're still being polite. And you don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to say, hey, copper, I know my rights, and you're not going to tell me. I'm calling my lawyer. No. Wrong attitude. You say, look, I don't know. I can't remember. They're going to say to you, how many drinks did you have? You know, have you been drinking? I don't know. I don't remember. Where are you coming from? Oh, I don't remember. I was at a friend's house. You know, we'd like you to do a field sobriety. I don't want to. I'm sorry, officer. I just don't want to. Okay, I'd like you to breathe into the breath machine. You know, I don't really want to. I hope you understand, officer. I just don't want to. I'd rather have a blood test. That does not hurt you in any way.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I recommend that to everyone. People need to know that. And you should know, by the way, when you get pulled over and the police officer is shining the flashlight in your face, the reason that he's doing that is because he's trying to see if your, what do you call it, the iris? He wants to see if your pupils are reacting to the light. Mm-hmm. People don't understand why they're being pulled over. An officer will say that to you. Sir, do you know why I pulled you over? And you should always say no. And it's always amazing to me. They say, have you been drinking tonight? And the guy says, oh, just a couple of beers. Everybody, are you out of your mind? Why not just sign a confession?
Right.
I mean, especially if you know you're intoxicated, you should really be playing it a lot more carefully. And you shouldn't be making any statements. You shouldn't be antagonizing. You just say, look, I don't know. I can't remember. I'm tired. If you want, I'm happy to do a blood test. And then especially, like I said, if you have any kind of career, if you have any prospect for yourself at all, if you want to have a state license to be a real estate agent, or you have any kind of governmental job or handling money, this is like almost any job, you have to get yourself a lawyer and fight it if you can. You have to. You're crazy to plead guilty. People do it all the time. It's terrible.
Now, let me get inside the heads of a lot of our listeners, many of whom are Mexican-American or African-American. In the heads of almost any person of color in Southern California is the Rodney King video, the Kelly Thomas video in Fullerton, the recent video that was taken after the guy in Anaheim was shot in the head, who was unarmed. So when people see that, that's ingrained in their head, and then when a cop stops them, it's understandable that they're afraid that something worse is going to happen to them. What really protects them from that happening?
Yeah, I really hear you. I understand that. And there definitely is a concern. I think that you have to kind of look at it from the cop's point of view. And I've dealt with a lot of police officers, and I think that most of them are okay. I mean, seriously, this sadistic, cruel police officer that we saw, well, actually a few of them, particularly in Fullerton or whatever, I think that those are hopefully the exceptions, and I think that they are, okay? And those guys get rooted out, the crazy ones. Generally speaking, police officers do get killed in what they call routine traffic stops, and it's happened a lot worldwide. And so you don't want to freak a cop out. That's the point. So when he is walking over to your door, you have the window down, you have your hands on the wheel. He wants to see your hands because hands kill, okay? And when you start reaching for your registration, you don't start digging through your glove box. You could be looking for a gun. And you say, officer, I'm going to put my hand over here to get my registration. Is that okay? You want to be able to communicate that. And especially if you're a little intoxicated, you say, you know, officer, I'm tired. That's a good thing to say. Hey, that's okay. It's late at night maybe. It's 1 in the morning. I'm a little tired. I'm coming from a friend's house. I'm going to reach over here, and is it okay if I get my registration? Because I guess you want to see it. You never just do these sudden movements where you're reaching to your pocket for your wallet, because from his point of view, you could be reaching for a weapon.
Did something change over the years? I seem to recall a time when the police would pull you over, and they would come to the driver's window. And somewhere a few years ago, the police would pull you over, and then they come to the passenger side. What happened?
Yeah, there's some theories about what's safer, and they've done different analyses. Also, when they talk about police work of how many people are in the car, also if the officer is by himself or on a motorcycle or if he has a partner, And there's a whole theory of how you approach a car and how you should look at it and so forth. And you just mentioned with respect to, let's say, people of color, Mexicans or African Americans or whatever. I mean, there is a certain element of racism. That's a fact. There's no doubt about it. Anyone who says that it's not true is a liar, okay?
So people like that might be afraid to say, I'm not going to take a breathalyzer test, or I'm not going to do a field sobriety test, or look, just write me the ticket.
I think that certainly also for Mexicans, let's say culturally, I think they are much more freaked out in general about authority. I think that Mexico is a much tougher place in terms of civil rights and so forth. And I think they're much more inclined when the cop's telling them, listen, you're going to do this. Somehow they're more inclined to believe if I cooperate and I do what the officer wants, you know, he'll be kinder to me, or he'll let me go, or he won't write me up. And that's not really how our system works at all. I've had this debate with a number of Latino and Hispanic Americans where they say, well, I want to tell the judge I'm sorry. And in some of the civil systems, if you apologize to the judge, then that's like a good thing. And the apology is accepted and you get a lesser sentence. In our system, confessing to the police generally is the stupidest thing you can do, because it's like a thing about, you know, can and will be used against you.
We'll take a break with our guest attorney, Adam Sachs. We'll take your telephone calls. Look at all the things we've gotten into here. DUI, divorce, alimony. It was a very busy day over at Adam's office, and he was kind enough to come over here and spend some of it with us and answer your questions about the law. You can call us here at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is the telephone number, 901-3000-866. We'll come back with attorney Adam Sachs. We continue. Stay right there.
You're just 10 digits away from your 2 minutes of fame. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You know, I've been preaching Likas 101 for years now, but some of you have fallen off the wagon or thought you knew more than the professor, and now you're facing off against a cold-hearted bitch who wants to take you for everything you've got, and on top of that, screw up your relationship with your kids. You know you need a lawyer. Don't be a fool. Call Adam Sachs now, 800-340-7320. Stand up for yourself. Don't be a pussy and let her walk away with the whole store. Fight back and use an experienced attorney that you can trust and has long supported our show and his teachings. As an attorney in court nearly every day, Adam knows that people like you are struggling with this tough economy. Even if you're dealing with financial issues, he'll take your case, and he promises to work out an affordable monthly payment plan. No matter what your financial circumstances are, you can afford Adam Sachs as your lawyer. 800-340-7320. In his 20 years of standing up for guys in the hostile area of family law, he's gotten countless men full custody of their children, protected men from outrageous and unfair child support and vagina money payments. And best of all, he never gives up, never runs from a fight. He'll even give you his cell phone number so he can always be reached. Call this number, 800-340-7320. Adam Sachs, it's time to man up. 800-340-7320.
All these radio stations are being shut down, and for good reason, because they play it safe by playing the same 200 songs over and over. And that's where Great Big Radio comes in. Click into greatbigradio.com, and you're going to hear great stuff that you thought was lost forever, right alongside the best-sounding hits and the Beatles every bottom of the hour. It's not just oldies. It's oldies gone wrong. Keep it in the family. The New Normal presents
Great Big Radio.
The hits and the songs that should have been. 24/7 at greatbigradio.com.
We've all done it. You drop your iPhone, the screen cracks. Someone spills coffee on your keyboard. You download a virus. I hate when that happens. Well, if you're in Los Angeles and that happens, you're in luck, because PC Mac Tech offers same-day service for your PC, your Mac, your iPad, or your iPhone. Los Angeles-based PC Mac Tech is staffed by certified PC and Apple repair technicians. PC Mac Tech, for liquid damage, cracked screens, and emergency computer repair. This has happened to all of us, right? Now give them a call. This is the number, 818-207-8300. That's 818-207-8300. Or find them online. It's PCMacTech.net. That's PCMacTech.net. net. It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. This is where you hear us Monday through Friday live at 6 p.m. Pacific time. I'm sorry, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. And we're here at 901-3000 Tom with our guests, attorney Adam Sachs. Your telephone calls. Let's take these right now. Let's start with Gil in Los Angeles. Gil, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Thank you, son.
I just wanted to add a quick comment on about what he said about the refusal. You could do a refusal just wanted to make sure I was correct. You could do the refusal with the actual cop at the scene, but when you go to the actual police station, you have to take it. If you refuse that, you supposedly get your license suspended from the DMV automatically for 1 year.
That's not correct.
That's true?
No, that's not correct. The only way the DMV can suspend your license is at the DMV hearing, which is something that you need to schedule within 10 days after your DUI arrest. And obviously, your attorney should do that for you. But again, the breathalyzer, and by the way, listen, it actually works for us in some cases because it's so screwed up and so notoriously inaccurate that it's something that attorneys can use to fight the overall conviction. There's a whole law now, there's a whole bunch of laws that have happened, particularly in Ventura County and elsewhere, where there have been attacks on the breathalyzer that the programming is inaccurate, it's something that the companies won't release. Generally, the police officers using the breathalyzer have not used it very long or have different models or they didn't clean it correctly or deal with it correctly. And so, like I said, it comes down to a blood test. And the idea that if you absolutely refuse to do the breathalyzer, the field sobriety test, and the blood test, then it's like one of these things where they're going to assume you were drinking and they're going to put you down. They're going to show that you weren't cooperative and so forth. But in general, you have the right to refuse the breathalyzer. Now, obviously, you know, you shouldn't be planning for your DUI, but I really think that when you are in that circumstance, which is a horrible circumstance, and you're at the police station, you're on the side of the road, you want to ask for the blood test, and that's the bottom line. And the idea that you're automatically losing your license or there's some consequence that's automatic, the United States justice system doesn't work that way. You always have the right to what's called due process. So there's nothing that's automatic. And if you say, look, I'm sorry about this. I want to go home, but I need you to take me to the hospital and do a blood test. It's something that they don't want to deal with, but it's something that you do have the right to.
Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Sure.
Gil, thank you for the call. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. Here's Vic in Burbank on the Tom Likas Show with our guest, attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
How you doing?
Do you care?
Of course I do.
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Of course, and hi to Adam. And I just want to share a story with you guys. Last night it was actually my birthday, and went out to Hollywood with a couple of friends to watch my friend's band play a show in Hemingway's. And, you know, we had a couple of drinks. We pre-gamed at my house, and I probably drank about a third of a bottle. And I'm the biggest guy, so I can handle it better than other people. I missed the bar. And I'm driving down Hollywood Boulevard, so, you know, I busted a U-turn, and I kind of did it fast. I'm not going to lie, I was feeling the alcohol. I was a little intoxicated. I just wanted to get there in one piece, but with my luck, two motorcycle cops pulled me over. And my buddy sitting next to me has had a DUI before, and that's why I didn't let him drive. And he told me, he's like, dude, he's like, breathe through your nostrils, and deny. Don't tell me you even had one drink. And this is the first time I'm getting pulled over for a DUI. And, you know, of course, the cops come. They flash the flashlights in our eyes. They're like, we smell the alcohol in the car. He asked me several times. He's like, have you had anything to drink? I'm like, no. Then he asked me if I've ever been arrested. Told him no. And he kept asking the same question to see if I changed my story, but I just stuck by my guns. And I just kept denying. And he told me to step out of the car, told me, you know, to follow his finger with my eyes and not move my head, did that a couple times. Again, he kept repeating the same questions, and as I was speaking, he kept moving closer, and I saw him sniffing, and he was trying to smell. I didn't even have gum, mint, or anything to pop in, you know, so there's literally like alcohol coming out of my breast. And I just kept denying, did everything pretty good, told me to roll my head back and count to 30, gave him my driver's license. Within 15 seconds, he told me to stop. And I'm like, shit, this guy's probably taking me in right now. Why would he interrupt me, you know? I counted slowly. I kept my form and everything. 15 seconds in, he's like, have you had anything to drink tonight? I'm like, no. So I'm like, all right, get out of here. And wow. I got off the hook, and I can't believe.
That's nice. You got lucky. But you also say, you know, that this relates to what I was talking about before. You have to recognize that police are human beings. And if you came off respectfully and you didn't act like a jerk and you're consistent in your story, you know, he gave you a break. He let it slide. That's good. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Be more careful.
Thank you very much. Maybe it was my birthday.
Oh.
Maybe it was my birthday. That's probably why. Thank you very much. And just wanted to say your advice is very accurate. Just deny. Don't agree. It's like it's admitting it. And Tom, if you can, please take me out Batman style.
Batman style. All right. Here you go.
Fuck, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up in the middle of the fucking scene. I'm gonna fucking kick your fucking ass. Let's go again, and let's not have you fucking walking in.
You're just 10 digits away from your 2 minutes of fame. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Do you need insurance? Costlow Insurance is the place to go. It's spelled COSTLO. Now, these guys are an independent insurance agency, family-owned and operated since 1965, and they've been big fans of our show for years. Now, you give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote at this number. Ready? 818-707-7711. Or visit CostLowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. They represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. So if you're looking for property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711. They've got competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive full coverage policies. Call 818-707-7711 or visit CostLowInsurance.com today. CostLow, COSTLO, TL as in Tom Likas. CostLow.
New normal rock, newer, faster, harder rock, 24/7 all summer long. Your summer just grew some balls.
Oh, yeah.
Find us at newnormalrock.com and mobile apps like TuneIn. No ballads, no broads, no bullshit.
Yeah.
New normal rock.
Looking for a bargain on a great getaway? Johnny Weiss at bargaintravels.biz is going to hook you up. How about 5 days, 4 nights, Yucatan Mexico Beach Resort, bordered by the Caribbean and Gulf of Mexico, daily breakfast, round-trip airport transfers? You won't believe the price. Call 602-509-0902 or click on the bargaintravels.biz banner on blowmeuptom.com's sponsors page. Here's one for you wine drinkers, a 5-day, 4-night Sonoma, California vacation. Spacious rooms, internet access, guided wine tour for a ridiculous price. Call Johnny directly, 24/7 at 602-509-0902. Johnny's waiting for your call right now at 602-509-0902. You know, there are plenty more deals just like these. The Caribbean, Spain, you name it. Just call this number. 602-509-0902. Or click on the bargaintravels.biz banner on our website sponsors page. Trips are subject to availability. Call Johnny Weiss now at 602-509-0902. It's Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, here we are with attorney Adam Sachs. We are just 15 minutes away from Be Funny. is now the most popular thing we do. Be funny. Coming up in 15 minutes. And, of course, it is incumbent upon you to be funny. 901-3000 Tom is our telephone number. 901-3000 Tom. It's 901-3000-866 for our guest, Attorney Adam Sachs. Let's say hi here to Pete in San Jose on the Tom Likas show. Hello.
Dad, how are you?
I'm doing okay, son.
Hey, I had a couple tidbits of information that could be helpful to the younger listeners, and also I had a couple questions for Adam.
All right.
Couple things I live by whenever I'm drinking and driving. I always make sure I don't have anything hanging from my rearview mirror, and I don't hang my GPS from my windshield, because they will pull you over for that, and they will find you're drunk, and you will be taken away. Another thing is I never tint the front windows of my car, because that's another reason to get pulled over. So my question, though, for Adam was, as far as DUI and smoking weed, how do they determine if you're high, and how does that whole process work?
Again, you know, we have a very strange world now with respect to marijuana. You know, you can have this marijuana card and have a prescription and so forth, but you're still not supposed to be doing that when you're driving. And what the police are basing it on, and I think that last caller, remember he was talking about how the cop was sort of smelling him or smelling near the car or saying, I smell alcohol. I think they kind of start with a marijuana thing. Either it's in plain view, which means they can see it by looking in the window if you have it on the seat or something. And then secondarily, if they can smell it, and they smell it on you, or they're aware of the smell of marijuana, which is a strong smell. And then obviously that leads to a search of your car, and then that leads to everything else. And by the way, what you said is very sensible in general. If you're going to have tinted windows, or you're going to do having these things hanging that are distracting through the windshield and so forth, you're always going to be drawing attention to yourself, and that's a good reason to get pulled over. And then obviously one thing leads to another, where you get pulled over for the tint, and then they see that you've been drinking or you have marijuana in the car or whatever.
Is that a productive conversation to get into with an officer? Let's say you have marijuana in the car, and you have to get into that conversation. Well, officer, I have a marijuana card. I went to the dispensary before I got in the car.
If you have one.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, is that right absolute? Call me old school, but I don't care how legal they claim to have made it to buy pot at a dispensary. The idea of driving around with pot in my car makes me very nervous.
Well, you know, the classic thing. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, the classic thing coming out of a dispensary, they're going to give it to you in a bag, and they staple the bag closed and so forth. And sort of like it's like a closed container of alcohol. I mean, you're supposed to basically take that home and you know, get high at your own place or whatever. Having it floating around in your car and so forth is stupid. And again, this conversations you have with police, you should always remember their job is to arrest people and convict people. So you got to be careful what you say, and you certainly don't, you know, advertise it to them. But I mean, if you're about to get arrested for marijuana, they smell it or they see it, of course you say, listen, officer, I'm allowed to have it. Here's my marijuana card, and maybe they'll let it slide.
But now here's the other question. They have breathalyzer tests for alcohol. They have blood tests for alcohol. But how do they know you're stoned? If seeing pot doesn't mean you did anything illegal.
And what if you don't have it in the car?
Okay, so you've been pulled over because you're high, but you got high before you got in the car?
Let's say you look like guy in the Jack in the Box commercial in the van who pulls up and he wants to buy 30 tacos.
Yeah.
And
even that's pretty suspicious by itself.
It is. But that guy, merely by looking the way he does, can he be arrested?
No, you know, if they want to get on you, and I think that other caller, the one before who was talking about it was his birthday, and that he basically talked coherently to the cops, he didn't make a scene, and they let it go. I think that there's a certain circumstance when you start talking to people and you see that the people who get arrested are the ones that copped attitudes that were hostile, and the police were inclined to look further and so forth. So, I mean, in general, it's not smart to get high and drive. There certainly is something that they can give you a blood test like for alcohol, and they can very accurately see how much marijuana you've used. If they search your car, they're going to find it or whatever if you have it from wherever you have it.
So, yeah.
Very nice. So the bottom line is, in general, is the same type of thing where, you know, I think if you know you're high and they start wanting to give you a field sobriety test and whatnot, you know, respectfully say no. That's the bottom line.
Thank you, Pete, for the call. It's 901-3000 Tom. Umberto in Modesto, you're on the Tom Likas Show with our guest, Attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Nice to see you. Listen to you again. Adam, I have two questions. My first one is, what is your geographical range of practice? Like, how far do you go up, or do you have partners that work, say, somewhere in the Bay Area or the Central Valley? And my second one is more in the lines of getting arrears. I pay child support pretty much all of my daughter's life, and about this summer I was finally able to get my daughter legally given mostly to me. However, she was living with me for about 4 years, and I paid child support for those whole 4 years. Now that I got my daughter back, they basically only gave me arrears till from the day I filed, which was back in January. Is there any way I can get that money back for the last 4 years that I had her with me?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to tell everyone that I'm very proud of myself. I've gotten my license now to practice in Arizona. I literally got that this week after years of working on it. So I'm actually licensed now in 7 places. So my range of practice generally is Southern California, but technically I could take a case, as I said, in all of California and certainly Arizona. With respect to what you've just described, it is tragically very unusual to get money back. It really is, and we've seen this. Tom talked about this in the past, where men were shown to have not been the father conclusively and had been paying child support for many years by fraud, essentially, and tried to get the money back. And there were cases where they did, but those were very exceptional. So with respect to what you've just described, where you had the child for 4 years, but you were still on the hook for support, you should probably have dealt with it earlier. I certainly could make a petition to try to get the money back. It's possible, particularly if it's in arrearage. If it's been handed over to her and she already spent it and doesn't have any assets to go after, it's very tough. It's like any other debt. It could be very difficult to collect. It's the last, okay. Basically the last legitimate form of fraud.
That and saying you're on the pill when you're not.
That's actually the Serpico case, that the cop Serpico. He's the one in New York who had a child. A woman literally told him that she was on the pill and lied, was never on the pill, in fact, and he sued that he shouldn't have to pay support because he was defrauded. And as I understand, the judge laughed at him.
Which is ridiculous, because if I went to a little old lady and said, I want to help you make an investment, let's go to the bank and take out $10,000, well, that you'd get prosecuted for. But if a woman said, I want to take your assets because I'm going to lie to you and say I'm on the pill, and I'm not, that's perfectly okay. It's preposterous. But it's like we say, there's so many preposterous things going on in the law right now. If I talk on my phone or if I send a text message, I could pay a $200-something fine. If I decide I want to get the $5 meatball marinara footlong at Subway, and then I want to eat it while I'm driving my car and there's sauce dripping on my shirt as I'm chewing through those meatballs, that is not distracted driving at all. It's perfectly legal.
That actually seems a lot worse, actually.
One would think. Or people, women applying makeup while they're driving, that's perfectly okay.
Well, just simply using the phone. Texting, I don't know. But just talking on the phone, seriously, holding it up to your ear, compared to eating a sandwich and that whole thing, or putting on makeup. A woman is using the rear-view mirror as her mirror for the makeup. That's a joke. That's really dangerous.
I mean, I saw the guy who has you can get these out of these airline magazines, like SkyMall. He has a microwave oven that fits in his glove compartment. So he puts like a breakfast burrito in there, and that's okay. But God forbid you should dial information. By Adam, if people want to get in touch with you, tell everybody how they can get in touch. We have a whole full board of calls. We could go here all day, but how would they get in touch with you if they wanted to?
I don't know, Tom. The time just goes by so quickly when we talk.
It
does. I feel terrible hanging up on all these people. Anyone can call me anytime at toll-free, Adam Sachs, 1-800-340-7320, 1-800-340-7320, and I'm always happy to give you a free consultation.
Fabulous. Adam Sachs, you've heard about him on our show, a listener, a supporter. If you've got questions, you give Adam a call.
Coast to coast, around the world, and across the universe, this is the Tom Likas Show.
from the New Normal Newsroom. Time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Mm-hmm.
We, of course, are brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. It's kind of like news under the influence, you know what I'm saying?
Very much right. So. Are we talking about weed or are we talking about alcohol?
Well, I think there's a little both going on in there.
I think so, too.
Anyway, go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, and get your Likas discount to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It is, of course, Beer Magazine. This might be the story of the week for sure. Out of Boulder, Colorado, police have arrested a 23-year-old man who witnesses said urinated on a woman at a Boulder bar after she rejected his advances on Saturday night. Our boy Timothy Paez.
Yes.
The woman was next to the bar at Shooter's Grill and Bar on 13th Street about 11:45 p.m.
on
Saturday
night. That
sounds
like a sports bar.
When Timmy came up to her and put his arm around her, apparently the woman responded by saying, really? And then according to police, a few seconds later, the woman said she felt liquid hitting her leg.
Right, and it wasn't beer spilling in this case.
She thought it was initially.
Right, because you're at a bar and you would think, oh, somebody's spilling beer on me, damn it. Mm-hmm. It turns out it wasn't.
Our boy whipped his shit out and pissed on her. We don't recommend this. I'm just saying, when you see the guy's mug and everything, it's good stuff.
Didn't that happen in the Kardashian sex? Oh, never mind.
By the way, the bar's staff escorted our friend Timmy out there, and police said Paez was so intoxicated that he was entirely unintelligible when asked questions.
I think he did the right. I mean, he did it wrong. Bad Timmy.
And an Italian court has ruled that telling a man he has no balls is a crime punishable with a fine, according to French press.
Well, that means that Tom Likas is serving a life sentence. He's getting an electric chair because he's called out person after person after person for having no balls.
The court, Italy's highest, set the precedent while ruling on a case between two cousins. One cousin told the other he had no balls. Apparently, it wasn't true. He's got balls.
Probably not a great idea to call out the manhood of an Italian. And according to this high court in Italy.
Is that the way you people roll, man?
Go ahead.
This just in, NBC shows a breast in live coverage of Spain versus USA water polo.
Right. They couldn't be outdone by Janet Jackson, so they had to counter it with their own. And it's going to happen. A lot of the videos or a lot of the stills you'll see have been pixelated. I like the clear ones. And again,
dude. I mean, you can't even tell that that's a woman.
I don't care.
There's not even any breast there.
A tit is a tit is a tit.
Not when it comes to women's water polo.
I guess so. Some of those women are really big.
There's a problem there. Jennifer Lopez and Casper Smart, that boyfriend of hers.
Very
furious
smart. I call
report.
His middle name is Very.
Very smart. Casper, very smart.
Yes.
They are furious over reports that our boy was caught in a gay sex club.
Right.
An exotic massage parlor.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Have him walking out of a XXX store, no problem. But simply accusing him of being in a sex club,
right.
A gay sex club, stop. Stop the madness. It wasn't him.
Right. By being so defensive, doesn't it make you wonder?
It does, unless you have a woman that has a hell of a lot of money and can hire high-powered attorneys to just fuck with people, especially to the one by name Sean Hawley. That's unbelievable.
A couple of pick alerts. Check out Paulina Gretzky. Apparently, she has a tattoo of her father Wayne's number, 99, on her pelvis, we're just finding out.
Well, above her pelvis. Let me tell you something. It's 2 inches from the gash.
Right.
That is some weird shit to have your dad's number, what's associated with him, 99, the greatest hockey player of all time.
It's the proximity to the gash is what you're saying.
Somebody five-holing her could easily see the 99.
No doubt about that. And that Hayden Panettiere is hanging around the Jets training camp an awful lot. And she looks fantastic
in a Jets t-shirt. She looks
banging over there?
Some tight end dude by the name of Scotty McKnight. This guy, I don't know why she's hanging out with him because he's way down in the depth chart.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right?
But she's known for banging athletes,
And this time, I don't know if she picked the right one. Dude. And how long until the Jets players just turn on her? Be like, dude, can you get your broad out of here? What is this, Jessica Simpson? Get rid of her.
You know what they say? An athlete is an athlete.
It's an athlete.
There you have it. Like us 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Hey.
Be sure to check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Are you looking to step up your game with your vehicle? Then you want to head over to CarbonFiberHoods.com. Based in Las Vegas, CarbonFiberHoods.com has everything you need to trick out your car just right. A full selection of body kits, ground effects, spoilers, and of course, carbon fiber hoods for just about every make and model. At CarbonFiberHoods.com, you'll save on popular brands like Vegas Aero, Duraflex, and Carbon Creations. CarbonFiberHoods.com. Go there right now. Use the coupon code Tom. That's right, Tom, and save $20 off any order over $300. Hey, it's time to step up your ride at CarbonFiberHoods.com.